There are differences between the two annunciations. Probably the most important is that the first annunciation to the Blessed Mother occurs when she is fully conscious. The angel Gabriel comes to her in the light of day. She understands what he is saying. She responds, and she gives her yes at that moment. I suppose we might speculate that being without sin, she could bear the appearance of an actual angel. Saint Joseph, by contrast, is visited in a dream, and he cannot converse with the angel in that dream, but he does in action what the angel invites him to do. When he awakes, he takes Mary into his home. There's one detail about the two annunciations in which they are similar that attracted my attention as I was getting ready for Mass today. That is, the beginning of the message to Mary and to Joseph is exactly the same. So first there's a salutation. You know, at the first annunciation, angel Gabriel comes and says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." The first half of the Hail Mary. We're told that Mary is wondering what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel begins his message, saying, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Likewise, in the Gospel today, in the second Annunciation, the angel in the dream begins with a greeting, a salutation, "Joseph, son of David," but then the very beginning of the message, "Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home." That is the first message. Do not be afraid. I myself will always associate those words with Pope St. John Paul II. I know a lot of you were not alive and conscious 40 years ago, but you might have read this in a history book, that after his election to the chair of Peter, there was a mass, a great mass, solemn mass at St. Peter's to begin the new pontificate of John Paul II. And the central message of Pope John Paul II's first homily to the world as Pope was, "Do not be afraid." He repeated that a number of times. Do not be afraid to open the doors to Christ. Do not be afraid to open every sphere of human activity to his guidance, to his influence. Those were the words with which St. John Paul greeted the church. Do not be afraid. And it was a very moving greeting, because in the hours between the election of Karl Wojtyla and that inaugural mass, of course, we had been well informed about his biography, the details of his life. He had lived almost his whole life under totalitarian regimes that used fear to keep the people in line. He was about 19 years old when the Germans marched into Poland in 1939 to begin the Second World War. So he lived for about 6 years under Nazi occupation, a regime that used terror to keep the people in their place. And of course, the end of the war did not bring freedom. It brought the Soviets. So from 1945 until 1978, as a seminarian finishing his studies, as a young priest, as auxiliary bishop, eventually Archbishop of Krakow, Pope John Paul II lived under the communists, who likewise used fear to try to control the people. And it was moving to have Pope John Paul tell us, be not afraid, because that was evidently a lesson that he had learned from his life's experience, that he did not need to be afraid. He did not need to be afraid of the ideology of communism because it did not understand the human person. It tried to remake man into something that we cannot be. And so it was doomed to fail. There was no reason to be afraid in confronting the ideology of Marx because the truth of the gospel was far stronger. There was no need to fear the atheism of the Soviet regime because it made no inroads in the hearts of the Polish people. They held on to the faith with great love. And there was no need to be afraid in confronting the government to ask for the practice of religion, the building of churches, the rights of the faith in communist Poland. There were difficulties. There were casualties. Sometimes the gains were small. But if you were not afraid, you could make progress, even in that most hostile environment. So those were the words with which Pope John Paul II greeted the church. Those were the same words with which the story of our redemption began to unfold when the Lord was about to come among us as one like us. And what is the motive? What is the basic motive that allows us not to be afraid? Is also in the gospel today, where the angel tells Joseph, they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We do not need to be afraid because the Lord has come to be with us. Of course, that's what we are preparing to celebrate now in just a few hours in the great feast of the Lord's Nativity, that he came to be with us as one like us, whose example we could see, whose words we could hear, whose wonders we could contemplate. The Lord came to be with us for short years, 33 years, tradition says, during a life on earth. But that when those years concluded, he did not abandon us, but he remains with us in the sacraments in which his own life is shared with us. The life that renews us. The life that gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not least of which is fortitude, courage, that the Lord is with us to restore his grace in us when we have wandered from the path. That he is with us to nourish us with his own life, week by week, day by day, in the celebration of the Eucharist, to make us more like him. We do not need to be afraid because the Lord has come to be with us and he remains with us. So that is a great message. Because, you know, think about that angelic greeting, both to Mary and to Joseph. Do not be afraid. Mary was sinless. Joseph was a righteous man. Why on earth would they not jump to cooperate with the plan of God? There was no malice in them that would prevent them from doing the will of God. The only thing that could prevent them from doing it was fear. So this, we experience this in human life, that perhaps I know what is the right thing to do. And I want to do the right thing. The only thing that typically prevents me from doing that right thing is fear. Fear of different kinds, you know? We can fear repentance because, well, it's an affront to my pride. If I repent, it means I must say that until now I have been wrong. I don't like that so much. It could also be a fear of losing something, that I've sort of become accustomed to my faults, to my vices, to my sins. I fear losing something that really I would kind of like to keep in my life. That is a kind of fear. Can be the fear of others. I know what the right thing to do is, but it will not make some people happy. It will cause me to be held in less esteem, to be less well liked by others. And so it is the fear of man. We're not living by the fear of God, but by the fear of men. So this is a common experience in the Christian life, that what prevents us from doing what is right is fear. And also, of course, in the larger scale, we look beyond our own spiritual life. Events in the world, events even in the life of the church, events in the culture, can fill us with fear. The message of the angel to Mary and Joseph, the angel of our beloved Holy Father, St. John Paul II, tells us, do not be afraid of whatever happens, whatever direction things seem to be going. God is at work, and he is preparing the victory of the gospel, the victory of the truth, in ways that we cannot imagine, that we cannot foresee. So that's a great message for us to hear today, as it was a necessary message for Joseph to hear in the gospel today. As we offer the Eucharist, the Lord becomes present with us on the altar. We thank the Lord that he is God with us. He remains God with us. We ask the Lord that his presence might give us great courage in following him, in persevering in hope.